I'm Ben Pugh, and you're listening to Impact, Parenting with Perspective, episode 173. This podcast is all about helping parents manage the mental and emotional drama that comes with parenting teens so they can focus on what's most important, building rock-solid relationships and having a powerful impact on their teen's life. Join me each week as I dive into real tools to help you and your team turn struggles into strengths. All right. Welcome back to the podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being on this journey. Lately, I've spoken to a few parents that specifically told me, I thought the problem was with my teenager. And since I've been working on myself, everything has improved. So if that's you and you're ready to give up working on your teen, trying to fix them, and you want to work on yourself, you are in the right place. And today I have a special guest. We're going to talk about something awesome that I didn't even know about. And this was created by the people who wrote my favorite book, Leadership and Self-Deception. So we have Julia Rock as our guest today, and she is going to teach us about the pyramid of influence. Julia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, as we hopped on and I saw this little pyramid, I was reading that and I was like, oh my goodness. Yes, like parents need that. How did you come across that?
Yeah. So I came across this quite a few years ago, at least a decade ago. There's this man in my ward who he's a counselor in the area, and he teaches at a place called Telos. And Telos it's in Orem, Utah, and it's focuses on helping, I think he said primarily like boys who are like struggling majorly, you know, sometimes with the law, sometimes with family issues and things like that. And it's like a residential treatment center. And he said that this is one of the first things that they teach their parents when a teen comes into their program, is he teaches them this pyramid of influence. And the Arbinger Institute, who you said does that Leadership and Self-Deception book, they also wrote The Anatomy of Peace. It's just like a global leadership firm that helps organizations shift their mindsets and transform their cultures. And this Telos program is incredible. Like, they also just help these boys, like, get them, you know, from wherever they are, you know, and help train them and get them reincorporated into, you know, like a healthier lifestyles and things like that. And these principles in particular help parents like improve their relationship with even the most troubled of youth. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And for those of you listening, if you have not read The Anatomy of Peace or Leadership and Self-Deception, those are the, like, when people come to me and they're like, hey, I can't afford your membership right now. I can't get in. I can't, like, the thing I always tell them is, well, if you can't start here, go start there. Like, read one of those books. I personally like Leadership and Self-Deception better. I like the story within the story, and like it's like an allegory. I recommended that to my dad, and my dad's like, oh, that was amazing. Did you know that they have another book, The Anatomy of Peace? He's like, I actually read both of them, and I like The Anatomy of Peace better. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those. But yeah, as I look at this pyramid here, and you'll send me an image of that, right? That I can put in the show notes. Okay. So as we're listening to this, if you need to, like, if you're like me, I listen to my podcast while I'm out on a walk. If you're on a walk listening to this, I don't know, maybe when you go home or something, go to the show notes, pull up the episode number, and I'll tell you what that is later. This is being pre-recorded, but go look at this pyramid as you listen to this. If you can consume information in multiple ways at once, it makes it go deeper. So if you're listening to the audio while looking at this pyramid, it will help you better understand. So Why don't you go ahead and start walking us through this pyramid of influence? And I'm just going to throw in my little two cents here and there.
Love it. Yeah. So yeah, I do want to kind of create like a visual. So there's six different levels on this pyramid, and it's kind of looks like the food guide pyramid that you and I maybe saw growing up. And just like the food guide pyramid, the first principle is that you're meant to spend more time at the bottom of the pyramid, the pyramid's foundation. Okay. And decreasing less time at the upper levels. So like starting at the bottom, the first two levels are the foundation of influence with our teenagers. Level number one is get out of the box or improve my way of being. And then level two is build relationships with others who have influence. And then the next three levels just above that are devoted to helping things go right in the relationship. So those are build the relationship, listen and learn, and then teach and communicate. And then it's like only at the very top of the pyramid is focuses on what we do when things have gone wrong. So it's that small little triangle at the top of the pyramid, the same one like on the food guide pyramid that's labeled like fats and sweets. Eat sparingly, right? Yeah. Even though many of us don't really,
now
don't
we
really
know,
do
like,
so well
eat
with
all the
that.
Fats you want, guys. Fats good for you. Okay, anyways.
yeah.
You can get on
anyway, that small section up there is just called correction. And so
let me throw something in real quick.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of the parents that I see have this pyramid flipped upside down.
On its head.
And so I'm coaching high school football right now. I don't think any of the coaches listen to my podcast. I wish they would. But I can tell you, correction is where they spend most of the time. And it really takes away from your relationship. And one of the coaches asked me the other day, he's like, well, this player in particular, he won't do anything for me. So you go talk to him because he would die for you. Like, he would do anything for you. And I'm like, well, duh, because I have a good relationship with him. Like, yeah. I would die for him. Like, we have this mutual relationship, and all you do is chirp at him the whole entire time. Of course he's not going to do what you ask. And I just wanted to throw my two cents. I fall into that trap sometimes too, where I am just overcorrecting. Usually I'm tired, hungry, something like that. But just know, if you catch yourself and you have this model flipped, it's going to have a negative impact on your relationship with your teenager.
100%. Yes. Love it. Yeah. So anyway, the second principle of this pyramid is that the solution to one level of the pyramid is always at least one level lower in the pyramid. So if you feel like your child isn't listening to you or willing to take your counsel, that's level five. It probably is because you haven't spent enough time listening to him or her, level four, or maybe even like getting to know his friends, level two, right? So again, it's like, okay, just look lower, look deeper, look further towards the foundation, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Then the third and final principle of the pyramid is that ultimately our effectiveness at every level of the pyramid depends upon the lowest level of the pyramid, our way of being, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love that. So reiterate, what are those three principles one more
sure.
time?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first one is just that you want to spend more time at the bottom of the pyramid in the foundation. And we've got, you know, the first two levels is the foundation of influence. The next three are helping things go right. And then the very top is what to do when things have gone wrong, right?
Yeah. So I used to build houses back in the day. One of the suckiest parts of building a house is putting in the foundation. Like, you have to excavate ground, like dig ground, like dig away at the earth. And then you have to do concrete work, which I hate concrete work. Like, it is hard. It sucks. But then you end up with this, like, the most solid part of the whole entire structure is the foundation. And we did a remodel in downtown Salt Lake once, and they wanted us to come patch the roof because the roof was leaking. And they're like, yeah, just come patch the roof. Well, we got up. This is like an old house up in the avenue. It's like 150 years old. We got to the house and we're like, this isn't a roof problem. Well, yes, the roof is failing, but it's because half of the house is new and the old half of the house has a sucky foundation and that's sinking, which is making the roof at two different levels. And they're like, yeah, but can't you just patch the roof? I'm like, well, we can, but in a year, you're going to have to do it again. And then again, and again, and again, you got to go fix the foundation. And I love that principle that you need to spend more time in the foundation. It is hard, but that's the meat of what we do as parents. I'm sorry, keep going. I'm full of stories today.
Yeah. And then I just kind of mentioned that first principle. But yeah, again, the second principle is that the solution to one level of pyramid is always found at least one level lower. And then the third principle is that every level depends upon the lowest level, our way of being, just like you said. So that's perfect. If we start at level one, improving our way of being, this is totally where what led me to coaching was this foundation piece. My story is that I had a teenage daughter that I just really, really struggled with. And right about when she turned 16, I got like a free coaching session, and I was trying to figure out what was going on in our relationship, you know. And my model, or your listeners are familiar with the model, right, Ben? Like,
yep.
So my model looked something like this. It was like circumstance, 16-year-old daughter who drives, you know, just really boring, really factual. My thought was, I can't trust her. Like, I was worried that everything she was telling me wasn't true, right? My feeling was like, I was just this constant ball of anxiety, just 24/7. I was just walking around anxious. My actions, they were just kind of all over the place. I was just stressing and worrying about her. I was accusing her of lying to me. I was checking her location. I was edgy when I was around her. And then I was like ruminating about what I would actually do if I caught her lying. Like, but in the end, like, what the coach helped me see was that the result that I was getting when I was thinking I can't trust her was that my result was I can't trust myself and she can't trust me.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have a plan, like, I was really relying on her, like, doing what she says she was going to do, not being rebellious, all that, because I didn't actually have a plan of what I was going to do if I caught her lying, or if, you know, she was, you know, doing certain things with friends or whatever. Like, I just didn't have a plan. And so anyway, that was what was really, it was a powerful shifting point in my life. And unfortunately, I didn't keep coaching at the time. And within a couple months, that darling teenage girl of mine was in a psych hospital after a suicide attempt. And it was like a huge wake-up call for our family. And we took like the whole next year trying to build that foundation that we're talking about here, you know? And it was just such a painful realization that, like, we weren't where we needed to be, you know? So, so coming back to this level one here, I just think that we find ourselves, you know, there's that quote by Gandhi, says, if you want to change the world, change yourself, right?
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, initially I was in resistance. Initially, of course, I just thought it was her. You know, I just thought it was like, if she would just do this, if she would just, you know, like, go, you know, get on medication, get to counseling, do these things, you know, be more obedient, you know, all the things. I always kind of thought it was her. And, you know, and we all play a part. But in the end, it was like, what was my power? My power was in what I was going to do differently, you know. And something that was like, I'm going to be really raw here. When I did start getting coached again, like on a regular basis, I remember the coach asked me, she was like after some probing and like getting a little deeper, I discovered that I was like not only angry and resentful towards my daughter, but I was even a little bit, this sounds awful, you ready for this? I was even a little jealous that her life seemed so smooth at the time, even though she had like pushed me and my husband almost completely out of her life. And she'd been rejecting like a huge part of all the things that we had taught her. And like when I like realized that feeling of jealous along with the huge things that I knew were there, which was like anger and resentment and stuff, then that's what was like, okay, you know, this is the end. This is like where I got to get these things turned around. And I just had to take a really good look at myself. And what was at the heart of it is that I had been really neglecting self-care. And I feel like self-care is very different for each person. But for me, it's like I wasn't getting enough sleep. I still don't always get enough sleep, but I wasn't having enough fun. I wasn't connecting with myself and with like other people in my life. And I just was doing like a really, really pitiful job managing my mind and my emotional well-being. So anyway, that's kind of what it looked like for me. And I just had to, over time, you know, figure this out and strengthen my relationship with myself. And I see this a lot with parents and teens that I work with. And I tell them, I'm like, I need you to become your own best friend. You know, you would never talk that way. That what you just told me about yourself, you'd never feel that way or talk that way to your best friend. And so I, you know, that's something that I've tried to teach both myself and those that I work with, just improve your self-talk, be really compassionate when you make mistakes, forgive yourself, appreciate yourself. Those are the things that was really lacking at that time of my life and that I've worked really hard to build up since that time.
I love that. And I think in addition to like the self-care component, most parents, like you talked about like not trusting your daughter. Most parents live in an existence based on comparison. Like you're comparing your life to your daughter's life. You are comparing her behaviors to your behaviors and then choosing, can I trust her? But your focus is actually on things outside of your control.
100%.
When you started going through coaching, like that's when you started taking control of the things that are actually within your control. And I did a post today on Instagram and Facebook, but talked about how most parents are more focused on their teens' behavior than their own behavior. They're more focused on their teens' choices than their own choices. They're yes. trying to make their teen manage their life a certain way without first managing their own life. And I love how you talk about like being out of the box as a way of being, like improving yourself. I want to talk for a second about that second tier up. Build a relationship with those who have influence. This is where I wish that we had listeners on with us and we could like do a Q&A and brainstorm. Like in your life, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, when things were kind of going down with my daughter, like, I mean, I did this like last ditch effort and I was like scrambling. I was reaching out to like her drill team coach and her school counselor and several of her leaders to kind of make them aware that I was recognizing that her mental health was tanking, asking for insights or anything like that. But like, I mean, that was like last resort, you know, and it honestly didn't get things turned around because I feel like things were already too far down. But I just feel like one of the biggest things is just inviting people over that are in your teen's life. You know, something that feels really supportive, I feel like, to my teens is when we invite like maybe their best friend's family over for dinner or for games, get to know them better. Because I just feel like those like our teens are at those families' homes, maybe even sometimes more than ours, you know. Yeah. And if we don't know them and we don't, you know, I just feel like it's such a good thing. Then it's like you have a relationship with those parents. If they see any red flags, if they're concerned about your kid, they're gonna come out, you know, and help support you, help you, you know, maybe let you know things like that. I think that's really important. I just think it's really important that we aren't ever at odds with people that our teens trust and are connected to. And I remember hearing
pick sides, and it won't be your side.
yeah. Just like helping them. Even when they are maybe complaining about a relationship, you know, just, you know, for sure being on your teen side, but like never like discounting a friend. Cause like I made a mistake one time of like really being like, well, maybe you guys shouldn't be friends anymore, you know? And my teen was like, well, no, like, I just want to fix this. You know, like we sometimes we jump because we maybe don't like that friend so much or whatever. But I think it's a lot more powerful to just invite maybe those friends that we're not so sure about, like invite them to our house, like, you know, as much as possible, get to know them, get to know their names. What do they like to do? I don't know. I just think that's really, really important. And I decided several years ago that I would just choose to love all the people that my kids love, regardless. And as long as they love them and want them in their life, I'm just going to say they're in my life. They're in my teen's life. They're in my life. And I'm just going to care about them anyway. And I'm going to, you know, go to bat for them if I need to, you know? So I think that's actually been really helpful in my life. I read a statistic sometimes that teens spend about 85% or more of their time away from their parents. So I feel like if we're trying to micromanage all their relationships and things like that, even if we think that we're in control there, we're not. Like, they're going to have the relationships that they choose, you know, they're going to be friends with people that, that they want to be friends with, when they're away from our home. And so I just think we have to just be supportive of that. I don't know. In my, one thing, I had this funny story with my son. Like, he sometimes would bring just like, I don't know, a dozen or more friends over. And it was really fun. I was always really grateful when it was at our house, because I just really liked to get to know his friends. And one of these nights, we just had this humongous box of oranges. And it was one of those oranges that you can't really peel. They're just kind of got the thinner skin, but they're heavy and juicy. Yeah. And so we got this idea that we would just, you know, go to town juicing them with one of those manual juicers. And we each just got these little tiny cups of juice, but I just feel like they just thought it was so fun. You know, they were just like, this is the best, you know, we're getting juice everywhere. It's all sticky and stuff. But I mean, that's awesome. And it's not like when my kids bring their friends over, it's not like I'm following them around at all. You know, it's like, I just kind of hang out in the kitchen, you know, because like teens, they'll eventually come looking for food. Right. And so then you can just ask, you know, and can ask their names and get to know them a little bit. I just think that's really supportive of our teens and all that.
I love that. And that's one of the secrets we found in our house. Like, if we want to go down the river or camping or do something fun, like, all my kids' friends are like, man, your family's so fun. My kids are like, I don't want to do that. That's lame. But if I start, like, if I invite my oldest girlfriend or my second oldest, his friends, like, all of a sudden they want to come and it's fun. Like, we invited one of the football players that's my second oldest. It's one of his friends. We went cliff jumping. We went down the river. We did all this fun stuff. And like, he just tells everyone on the football team, like, he's my second dad. Sometimes he's actually my first dad, because he's more fun than my other dad. But hey, that's the power that you have. If you can't have an influence on your own kids, start by influencing their friends. And coaches are another good place to start. I just love everything that you brought up. Let's also talk about, slide your head over just a little bit so I can remember. No, listen and learn. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm looking at her visual behind her. This is one of the things that I feel like as parents, we completely miss out on. Like, we might listen, because a lot of people talk about listening, like listen to understand, active listening. Like, we talk about that. I believe letting your teen be the expert on something, which, guys, if you don't know this, like, your teen is an expert on something. And it's probably usually themselves. And then there's some outliers that they're an expert on. If your kid's into sports, let your teenager be the expert. And I see a lot of parents, and I get stuck in this trap too. We aren't willing to position ourselves as not as smart or not knowing as much as our teen. And I'm telling you guys, this is one of the biggest secrets. If you want to improve your relationship with your teen, let them teach you about something. Let them be the expert for once. And how have you been able to use that in your life?
Yeah, I remember something really shifted, especially with my daughter, the day that I gave up the story that I had any idea what it was like to be a teen in today's world. Wow. Because I really, I mean, I think I just had that little, you know, like, oh, sweetie, like, it's really not that hard. Like, technology, it's fine, you know, whatever. And I'm like, nope, I really have no idea. This is way harder than I think it is, you know? And I just started being curious and compassionate. And I just saw how things really shifted for me. I think some of the questions that I ask myself and I encourage my clients to ask are like, how do your teens' beliefs make sense for them?
Yeah.
And how do their feelings make sense when they have those beliefs? How do their current values make sense? And how do their actions make sense with those beliefs and values in the context of their world? You know, like it really does take like absolutely like getting inside of their head, stop with this judgment and this, like, I know it all. Like, that was something that kept coming up for me. It was like a theme of some of the coaching that I did was like, you're judging your teen again. Yeah. You're judging. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I've got to get out of this. But I think it was this thing where I had this need to know it or to be right or to be ahead in some way, you know? And it was really, really, affecting our relationship. So, yeah, that was something that I just had to let go of. And another thing is that how we respond when our teens share things with us makes a huge difference of whether or not they're going to do that again.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like if we overreact, if we even sometimes if we're like too interested, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we have to kind of balance that a little bit, you know. But when they tell us something, I think it's important for us to ask how they feel about it. You know, what do they think about their friend that's doing drugs or having sex? What do they feel about their current grades that are lower than normal? And what do they think is the problem? You know, instead of us being like, you know, clearly you're not, you know, X, Y, and Z. It's just like, well, what do you think? What do you think is going on here for you? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think that there's that thing where a lot of times when our teens are telling us something, that we ask the question, you know, so do you want me to just listen or do you want, you know, some advice or solutions? And I would say 90, maybe even 95% of the time, they just want us to listen.
Yeah.
They don't want solutions. They just are kind of offloading, you know, and they just need us to be a sounding board. And that's maybe all, you know?
Yeah. I love that. It reminds me two instances. One, so I don't want to get too deep with not too much time, but like your reality is 100% based on you, your perceptions. Like, you are the creator of your reality. Anyways, I wish I could give you more background, but we don't have time. There was a time where we caught my son on a phone doing stuff that he shouldn't have. And we didn't even know like what he was doing, but we got the phone. We actually still have it somewhere, but it was like bent and the screen was demolished. And he's like, I dropped it. And we're like, dude, you did not freaking drop that. Like, you freaking went into rage mode and destroyed that thing. Like, what are you hiding? And we did some digging. We found out like there was some stuff that he was hiding and he had been lying. And I don't know. I believe that up to that point, we hadn't handled catching him in lies and doing things the way that I would handle it now. And I believe that the reason he had such a severe reaction is because of how we had reacted earlier as parents. Well, fast forward a little while, like I had a pretty strict rule of no Snapchat. When I was a high school principal, I hated Snapchat because kids would come tell me all the time, like, so-and-so is bullying me. And I'd be like, where's your proof? And they're like, well, it was on Snapchat and it deletes after so long. And I'm like, that's stupid. Like, I can't do anything about it. So I told my kids no Snapchat. And I remember the specific day, like, we're at a basketball tournament and my kid that I trusted a little bit more than the other kid, we found out he had Snapchat. because like his phone's sitting over there during the game and he's getting notifications. And he's like, well, so does my brother. And so all of a sudden we found out both had Snapchat. I was a little annoyed. And like my mind instantly went to, well, I'm going to take their phones and I'm going to have some consequences. But instead, I asked a question like, guys, what do I not understand about Snapchat? Like, what am I not getting? Why do you want it so bad? And that was the most powerful question ever, because my kids were like, I have a streak with this girl. And if I don't snap her, like, she logs in for me when I'm gone. And she, I can't remember, but like, they're telling me all the things based on their values.
Yes.
And I then went to a different question. I can't control you guys. How can you help me keep you safe when it comes to Snapchat?
Right.
And all of a sudden they're like, well, we'll do this, we'll do this. Like, they had already problem solved all of that. And I just had to get out of the way and kind of create that conversation.
Wow. And it's funny because they already knew the answers. Like, they did want to be smart around it. You know, that's amazing. Yeah. Something that you said, like, and this is something that I feel like is a theme both in your program and, you know, on your podcast, is that you connect with your teen based on your teen's values, right?
Yeah.
And that's been a huge thing for me, because I think as parents, we're like, well, we have the right values, you know,
our
like
values are so much better.
Yeah. But in the end, it's like, anyway, like my son right now, my son's highest values are probably like, maybe not even in this order, but his friends, earning money, and lifting weights. And if I want to connect with him, I need to support him in hanging out with friends, help him earn money. And then right now I need to have an endless supply of protein powder.
Yes. Right? And creatine. Like, seriously. If you want to really get
Yeah, we have creatine too. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, his love language right now is protein.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's how I connect with my son. And, you know, it's like, probably my preference would be that his education or his home responsibilities were like a little bit higher on his values list. But, you know, and if those things get neglected, like, yeah, then we need to set some contingencies around him earning those privileges and things. But it's like, you know, if my teen's latest passion is baking or playing pickleball or listening to music or laughing at memes, like, we can find ways to connect with them there so that we can, you know, that parenting can actually be fun. Like, that's something I found out. Finally, like, where have I been? You know, parenting teens can actually be really fun.
Yeah. Well, no one else in the world believes that. Like, most, I just read a post the other day. It's like, teenagers suck and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you are coming from the wrong set of beliefs. Like, what if it could be amazing?
Right.
Just selfishly, talk a little bit about the Impact Parenting course and the membership.
Yeah.
It's You're so a member. Good. How has that helped you as a parent?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I love your foundation videos. You have amazing worksheets. Like, where, I don't know who's making these worksheets, but
My
they
wife.
Are so good. She's amazing. Like, they're incredible. They're beautiful, and they just go right along with each of these sections. I mean, I just feel like you can just take a really deep dive into all these things we're talking about. Like, what are your top values? You know, what is your 10 word mission statement? What, I just did the module on, you know, family meetings. Like, that was so powerful. Just, I mean, like, you can have these talks with your teen, and it can be enjoyable, you know, and that's actually going into like our level 5, like, teach and communicate. How can we do this in a way that's actually really enjoyable and not super confrontational, you know, because that's where we lose our teens, right? When we start lecturing, when we act like we're the expert, you know? So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, your parenting course is awesome. And the coaching calls, group coaching is amazing. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for being in there. I need to, if I'm ever sick or something, I'm just going to have you on speed dial and be like, look, I need you to take this group coaching call for me. Let me tell you about something cool that I'm working on as we speak. So I try and build everything that I teach within these three core principles: identity, connection, and growth. And as I've coached, like, I don't know, like when people are like, man, I've coached thousands of parents, I'm always like, who's counting? Like, what if you've only coached 999? Anyways, I've coached a lot of parents. I don't count how many, but a lot of parents. I've seen either identity, connection, or growth as this. If you don't do that, you're in a trap. And I am in the process of developing a parent trap quiz that will help you identify which parenting trap you're falling into. Yeah. And the cool thing is, like, so I call these trap, well, this is all in progress, guys. So like, if you hate it, let me know and I'll make some adjustments. But there's the lost and confused parent trap. There's the controlling parent trap, and there's the doormat parent trap. And it's been really cool as I've been working on this. Like, I'm able to talk to parents and be like, oh my goodness, do you feel like you're in the doormat parent trap? And they're like, yes, that's it completely. So
yeah,
stay tuned, everyone, because I'm going to have a quiz, hopefully within, I don't know, maybe by the time this podcast comes out, it'll already be live. But if you're curious on what parent trap is holding you back, go take the quiz, and it'll be powerful, because once you take the quiz, like, if we can identify, hey, you're stuck in the lost and confused parent trap, well, guess what? The remedy to that is identity. So anyways, I just get excited when I'm working on cool new stuff.
And I did, like, cause I've kind of done some of that work in one of your boot camps. And I was like, man, I've actually probably during that year when I was rebuilding my relationship with my teen, I fell into all three at different times because I was trying to figure out, like, how do I connect with this, you know, this, my teen. And I mean, initially, I think I was almost always in, like, the controlling place, like I said, you know, but then I would just, I'd be like, but I really want her to like me and I want us to have fun together. And then I'd turn into a doormat, you know?
Yep.
And then in between, I was just always confused. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, none of this is working. This is terrible. You know? So yeah, I think especially when our teens are super struggling, we might flip back and forth between them. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife was like, depending on the day, I could be in any one of these traps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cool thing is, like, when you can identify, oh my goodness, today I'm in the controlling parent trap. Like, there's specific things that you can do. Do the T-chart of control. Do, like, there's just so many things. When you catch yourself, knowledge is power. And that's the goal for that. But let me ask you this, Julia. If some of my listeners were like, oh my goodness, Julia is amazing, and I want to learn more about the pyramid of influence and everything she teaches, where can they go to find you? Where can they go to, like, you mentioned a freebie that you have. Yeah. Tell us all about that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you're like me, you're probably listening to this episode on at least like 1.5 times speed, right? Hopefully you've had some insights, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure that all of our listeners today had something visual and practical to help them use the pyramid of influence in their lives every single day. So I created a freebie for today's call, and it's a 3-page guide called Connection Before Correction. And it has a picture of the pyramid. It's 3 basic principles. And then I give you 100 things that you can try before you correct your teen. And it's 20 ideas in each of the 5 pyramid levels that we talked about today that can strengthen your relationship. And I just feel like, I mean, I've heard so many parents that I've coached just say, like, I've tried everything. You know, yeah, I've tried everything to connect with my teenager. And I just want to guarantee you there's going to be some things in this 100 list that you haven't thought of.
Yeah.
And especially if you have your pyramid turned on its head, like most of us do when we're in this desperate situation with our teens. So yeah, I just encourage my clients to print out this guide in color and put it on their bedside table, or better yet, put it in your pantry, where if you're like me, you get frustrated and want to grab some chocolate chips or Doritos, then, you know, have it in there so that you can do that instead of, you know, eating your feelings. So That's what I would encourage everyone to do today.
Yeah. And the link will be in the show notes for this episode. I think I'll probably have the visual as well so that you can see this. But this is one of those podcasts. Once you listen to it, go to the show notes so you can get Julia's link, so you can see this pyramid that we're talking about. And I'll tell you, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while and your parenting is not improving, it's probably because you're just consuming and you're not creating. And what Julia has done here is she has made it really easy for you to go from a consumer to a creator. And if you're me, sometimes you get in the habit of just passively consuming information and you get a little dopamine hit and you're like, ooh, I feel so good and I feel hopeful right now. That isn't going to last, I promise you. And so if you want a more lasting change, stop being a passive consumer and be an active creator. Go create something better with your team. So if you're listening to this, I challenge you, go to the show notes and download this freebie, 100 ideas. If one of those does not, like if you look at all 100 and you're like, nope, I've tried every single one of those, I will give you a free coaching call with me and we can discuss it. Julia will probably do the same thing.
I will give you a free coaching call for sure. Yep.
There you go. If you go through this list of 100 and you are like, oh my, well, I've tried every single one of those ideas and they're dumb. You get two free coaching calls with one with each of us. So go try that. Take us up on the challenge.
Yeah. And if you're like me, sometimes I have a hard time locating show notes. Another place that you can find me or this freebie, I'm on both Instagram and Facebook at Julia Rock Coaching, but my last name is spelled tricky. So you ready for this? It's ROCQUE. There's just a link in my bio it's like a campsite bio there. So, or you can email me at julia@juliarock.com. So any of those ways we can get you that freebie.
Awesome. And when this podcast goes live, let's you and I collaborate on some Instagram reels or something. And I don't know, I'm getting more into Instagram. I'm not great at it yet, but we could co-collaborate on some. And the cool thing is, if you make it as your story, you can actually put a direct link to the podcast, which would make it easier for people to go find it. So let's you and I connect after this. Okay. Anything else that you want to add before we end our call?
Oh, I don't think so. I just really hope that our listeners can get some of these turned around before they, you know, have like some dramatic story like, you know, mine. So I feel so passionate about helping parents create this foundation in their lives so that they can actually enjoy parenting again.
Yeah, really good. I love that. And parents, if you do not enjoy parenting, there's like a 99.9000% chance that your teen doesn't enjoy your parenting either. So if you can enjoy it, your teen's going to enjoy it more. And that's going to help you create an impactful relationship. So, okay. Awesome. I love it. Julia, thank you for just coming and dropping so many truth bombs and golden nuggets. Like, this might be one that people... Guys, you might want to listen to this twice. I listen to everything on double speed so I can get through it twice. And anyways, but okay. Well, thank you. And let's totally do this again. And everyone listening, come back next week. We'll have another show for you. Did you know that parents and teens all over the world are struggling? I believe that the most important thing that you can do in your teen's life is simply being an impactful parent, which means taking the time to understand what parenting traps are holding you back, and then taking that knowledge and using it to completely uplevel your parenting. This is why I've created a brand new quiz to help you better understand your own parenting traps. This quiz will help you pull back the curtain on your own parenting and gain some powerful insights so you can stop getting caught in the same old parent traps. This quiz will help you start being the parent of your dreams so you can finally create an impactful relationship with your team. This quiz will take you less than 2 or 3 minutes, and it is completely free. If you want to take this quiz and better understand the traps that are keeping you stuck as a parent, go to benpewcoaching.com/parent-trap-quiz and get an insight into what is holding you back as a parent so you can completely uplevel your parenting. I'll see you soon.